This week's Parsha, Parshiyos. Good to see you. This week's Parshiyos are Parshiyos of Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. And it's a double Parsha, once again. And the sixth Aliyah of both of these Parshiyos are very connected to each other. And the sixth Aliyah of Parshiyos Achrei Mos, the Pasuk lists the Isurei Arayos, all the different forbidden relationships that are included in the gender, the general heading of Gilui Arayos, that the Torah says that one should not engage in. I'll just list them here in the sixth Aliyah. The sixth Aliyah had said, you should not do Kamasa Yeretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtem Bo, Kamasa Yeretz Kanan, Asher Ani Mevieschem Shama, like the actions of the land of Mitzrayim that you dwelled in, the lands of Canaan that I'm bringing you to. And later afterwards, in the seventh Aliyah, it explains that don't become tummy in all of these things, because in all of these things, the goyim that I am sending away from before you sullied themselves, and the land became tummy, and I visited its sin upon it, and the land spit out its inhabitants. So it gives a little bit more of a context to all of these isurim of arayos, to all these forbidden arayos, these forbidden relationships. In Parshas Kedoshim, in the sixth Aliyah, the Torah similarly discusses forbidden relationships. The Torah says, Ki ish asher yikalel, starts off with cursing, but then it says, Ish asher yinafes eishas ish, asher yinafes eishreel, maizumath hanayif hanayofes, and it goes on to list not all of the same arayos that we had before, but some of the arayos that we had before, each one with its own consequence that the Torah lays out for it. And after listing all of these arayos, it says, "Ushmaritem es kol chukaisai ves kol mishpatei v'asisem esam leisakiyam esam oras asherim v'yaskam sham l'shevesba." So the land that I'm bringing you to dwell in shall not split you out, spit you out. That's what the Torah says here, just like it says again in Parshas Achrei Mos. After listing the arayos, it says, so that the land should not spit you out. The Torah says the same thing here. So I'd like to probe this with you to understand this framework of the Isurei Arayos that the Torah presents to us here, and speaking specifically about how the land rejects those who are Megalei Arayos. Why is it that this is the case? Why does the Torah present it in this way? The truth is that we find as well elsewhere in the Torah where it speaks about the land sort of rejecting and not accepting is by Ritzicha, by murder, where the Torah says as well that L'oretz le'yichupar l'adam asher shufach ba, the land will not be able to cover up the blood, will not be able to contain the blood, the land will not be able to atone for the blood which was spilled on it. There as well, the Torah specifically associates the ability of the Jewish people to continue upon the land with this, with that particular Avera. What is the nature? What are the nature of these Averas that the Torah is speaking about here, and why they are so essential to the Jew being able to maintain themselves in Eretz Yisrael? As Ramban writes, the description here is of a basic intolerance, almost a natural intolerance when vomit something up. The language which the Pasuk uses is because the system can't take it. It's not a decision. It's an involuntary reflex. It just doesn't settle. This doesn't settle in there. And these things just don't begin to settle in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply to every land. It applies specifically to Eretz Yisrael, B'Kedushasa. And we have to understand why this is, what the relationship of these averas are to each other and to the ability of the human beings to be able to be here, to be able to occupy the land. When it comes to arayos, one could ask a more general question. And the more general question is, why is it that these averas are altogether listed here in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Achrei Mos Kedoshim? Sefer Vayikra is supposed to be primarily Tiras Kayanim, the laws of the Kayanim. Laws of Kayanim, their service in the Beis HaMikdash. Arayos has really nothing to do with it. And we have to understand why it's listed here. And the Ramban addresses this question in his introduction to Sefer Vayikra. And the Ramban notes the fact that arayos are referred to by the Torah as tuma. One who engages in arayos is engaged in something which is called tuma. And even though it's not tuma in the conventional sense, which has halachic ramifications for the Beis HaMikdash, which fit in Teras Kohanim, it's more of a general notion of tuma. But nevertheless, since the Torah speaks about it as something which will therefore deprive Hashras HaShechina, because tuma is the opposite of that which is hospitable to the presence of Hashem, so therefore it belongs here in Sefer Vayikra with that discussion. Similar discussion to what we have back in Parsha Shmini, where we speak about Isurei Macholeis Asurais, forbidden foods, may also be such a kind of a notion. Ramban doesn't say it there. Other Rishonim, Sforno says it there, that the idea is it has to be able to draw down the presence of Hashem. But here, let's look specifically at this. Because what Chazal teach us, as you know, is that ish ve'isha zochu shechina shriya b'neihem, that a man and woman, if they merit, if they come together positively, that brings hashras hashchina, that brings the presence of Hashem between them. Relationship like that, formed well, brings hashras hashchina. The Gemara says that you have the name Ish, the name Isha. In the name Ish, you have the letter Yud, besides for the core elements of Esh. In the name of the woman, Isha, you have the letter Hey, besides for the core elements of Esh. There's an Esh, a fire, which can be destructive. There's an Esh, which can be the fire of the presence of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Be'esh, right? He appears, Be'esh, he appears through the fire, Amud Ha'esh, through the fire on Har Sinai, through all kinds of positive appearances in that form. So it says, Chazal say famously, that if the man and woman come together properly, so they bring together the Yud from the man and the Hay from the woman, and that together makes the name of Hashem. So when they come together, when Zochu, when they merit and they come together in a good and positive way, then the presence of Hashem will come to rest between them, as represented by the coming together of the Yud and the Hay. Loi Zochu, if they don't come together, so then each one stays for itself, and Esh Echlosam, the fire, consumes them. The fire that could have been the fire of Hashras Hashchina becomes instead the fire that consumes them. And if you think about it, and you think Sefer Vayikra, so what do you think of when you think about a fire of the Shechina and a fire that consumes? You don't have to look far. Because in Sefer Vayikra, in Parsha Shmini, when Klal Yisrael came and dedicated the Mishkan, so what do we have described? We have a fire that descends from Hashem to come and to represent the Shechina. Moshe Rabbeinu had built the Mishkan, had put it together. Klal Yisrael was worried, is Hashem going to be Shaira in this Mishkan? And Moshe Rabbeinu came out, he davened, Yirotzoin Shetishre Shechina B'masi Yadechem, Hashem's presence should come to rest in what you've created here. And the fire came from the heavens down to the Mizbeach to consume the korbanos. But we focus on the fact that that was the fire of Sharsa Shechina B'masi Yadeim, Hashem Shechina came to rest. And then a moment later, the Pasuk describes that the fire came out, and what did it do? It consumed Nadav and Avihu. That's Esh Echlosam. That's a fire that destroyed, fire from the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Teitei Esh Milifnei Hashem, the fire came out from before Hashem. But in that case, in that context, it consumed Nadav and Avihu with this Ezor Asher L'Siv HaYisom. So the idea is that we find an Esh which is positive, which creates Hashras HaShechina, and we can also find an Esh of destruction. And we find this right here in Sefer Vayikra. And Chazal phrase it this way, that when a zivug, when a bringing together of a couple is something which is done right, and the two truly come together, so then we're zeicha, we merit that notion of the hashras hashchina, of the presence of Hashem being able to be there. And I want to explain it very, very simply. very simply. I mean, again, first let's just follow through on the thought. So therefore, here where the Torah is listing arayas are those relationships that the Torah is saying cannot work, where this man and this woman cannot come together. Ein lecha lo zachu yoyser mizeh. There's no better example or illustration of where the man and woman don't merit to come together, because the Torah says they may not and they even cannot come together. So when that happens, that's the opposite of the direction which this parsha is about, which the Sefer is about. The Sefer is about bringing the Hashras HaShechina, and the Sefer also makes us aware of, as we have in the story of Nadab and Avihu, where one repels the Shechina, or one brings down destruction and conflict from the Shechina. So the same way we have it as well when it comes to the marriages which are permitted, that's a framework, that's a possibility of Zachu Shechina Shruya Beinayim, of meriting having the Shechina in their midst. The opposite, those arayos that are forbidden, are the recipe for Eish HaEchlos and for the fire to consume them, for the failure. So what, again, however, be sowed, and the core principle, what is the core principle here for this Zacha Shechina Shruya Beinayim, or Loi Zacha Eish HaEchlosan? And the place it would seem to look here most straightforwardly is in the original description of the creation of a Ish V'Isha Sheshchina Shruya Beinayim. The original creation of Ish V'Isha Sheshchina Shruya Beinayim was, of course, when Adam was alone in Gan Eden, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Loi Tayv Hayais Adam Levadai. It's not good for man to be alone. Es Eloi Ezer Kenegdai. Man, as great as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created him, but he was still very incomplete. And in order for him to be able to, be good and to be right and to perfect, he needed to have somebody else. And that somebody else that the Torah describes as Ezer Kenegdai, a helpmate opposite him, describes two people who would come together in a relationship of helping, of assisting, of commitment one to the other. And short of that, it's not Toiv Hayosa Adam Levadai. It's not good for man to be alone. I'd like to try to explain this a little bit more. The creation that we describe here of Loi Tayve Yos Adam Levadai Es Eleizer Kenegdai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu then goes and creates a woman from man himself, this would seem to, if you look in Parshas Bereishis, you see that it reflects what happened, so to speak, with the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a whole world, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked down at the world and he said, you know, it's not enough. All of the things which I have there are not enough. Nasa Adam B'Talmeinu K'dmuseinu. I have to make man in our image, in our form. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create something that had Tzelem Elokim, that had the divine image within it. And we learn, Sfarim teach us, the Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem, that the idea was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in creating the world, why did he create it? Why did Hashem need to create the world? So, you know, we say every day in davening, why? We say every Shemoneh Esrei, Goymel Chasadim Tovim V'Kenei HaKoyel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be meitiv. He wanted to give good to others. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just want to give a most basic good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the ultimate good. And the ultimate good is Shechina, is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that in order for me to actualize what I want to have in the Bria is, I have to be able to share with something that's going to be able to share everything that I have to offer. The ultimate commitment. If Hashem creates a giraffe, Hashem creates a sheep, Hashem creates something which exists in the world and therefore has goodness, but its goodness has nothing to do with the actual goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not Hashem sharing of Himself. When Hashem created man that shared the Tzelem Elokim, that shared the divine image, Hashem shared of Himself. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu then looked down at man, and man now existed in the world, But man had the same difficulty, the same sort of existential loneliness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's loneliness was, I have lots of things that I created. I have lots of things that I've given good to. But I never gave of my own good. I never truly shared. And now I have the opportunity to truly share by creating Adam. He says, now I created Adam. But man himself doesn't have the ability to truly share. He's by himself. It's not good for man to be alone. If man is alone, then there's no partnership, there's no helping, there's no sharing, there's no ezer kenegdo. What does it mean, kenegdo? Opposite. Right? Opposite means, to some degree, a parallel, an equal. Right? Many Rishonim translate that kenegdo, it means like on a scale. Right? Where, when is it kenegdo? When it's balanced. Adam could have found mates in all the other creatures in the world, but it wouldn't have been a balanced mate. They would have been completely out of kilter. One is in a different place than the other. And that's what happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to Adam all of the different kinds of creatures that exist in the world. Adam le'matza ezer kenegdai. But there was no mate that was like Adam. Just like Hashem created a whole world, but nothing in that world shared his tzelem, shared godliness. Adam existed in a world, and he looked at all the creatures in the world, but none of it shared his godliness. None of it shared his humanity. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, and he created woman from man. And Hashem Adam said, Zois hapam etzem me'atzamai u'bosar mi'besari l'zois yikari isha k'mish l'kacha zois. This was the possibility now of real sharing, of real togetherness comes forth. Thank you. Real togetherness comes forth because now Adam and Chava are there. They're able to share with each other. The connection, therefore, is of the greatest possibility. And if we see this, so we say that when it speaks about Ish v'Isha Shechina Shriya b'neihem, a man and woman merit having the presence of Hashem within them. So one can translate it, can explain it this way, Zachu. Right? Zachu is where the relationship that can exist between them, that the aloneness of one doing just for themselves and not for the other is broken. Where that possibility now of the Ish v'Isha, of the man and woman coming together to share and to share to the nth degree of possibility, that is the ultimate in Hashras HaShechina. That's the ultimate in Hashras HaShechina. Hashras HaShechina comes because where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is where that giving is. Remember? Le'tayv Hayoyf Adam Levadai. What do we say in Shemoneh Esrei? Blessed are you Hashem HaTayv Shimcha. Your name, your essence is Tayv. When we speak about Shimcha, the Shem Hashem is Hashras HaShechina. We speak about the actual presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this idea, this opportunity to create a relationship that can be a relationship of kenegdai, of doing and giving for each other, that is the essence of Hashras HaShechina. That's the essence of Hashras HaShechina. You know, there are those who say, there's a great question as to why the Torah forbade certain relationships. All these arayos that are listed here in the parsha, why does the Torah forbid them? And Rishonim discuss why it is. Some say that the reason is because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted people to share, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted people to forge relationships, he wanted them to forge relationships beyond themselves. Beyond themselves. Arayas are relations who one has already, where the relationship just exists. The person isn't going to reach to good, to do good, to create, to something else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created Adam, he didn't share with somebody we had already. He went and he created something in order to be able to grant to it, in order to be able to give it. And that becomes the paradigm, the model for what this relationship is to be. So for the person to just stay within doesn't work. Al kein yazov ish es aviv es imay v'davak v'ishtay. The magic of it is to reach beyond, to connect, and to create, therefore, a relationship of giving, not just giving oneself, but giving beyond. And that's the definition of Shechina. And that's where the possibility of Shechina exists. And therefore, you can understand very readily that the Torah uses the same kind of parlance, the same kind of issues and consequences, both when it comes to the mitzvah, the prohibition of arayas, and when it comes to the prohibition of ritzicha, of murder. Right? Arayas is the failure to create connection between two people. Ritzicha is a much more aggressive form of the same. Ritzicha is the destruction of connection between two people. Arayas is the failure to create a situation of ezer, of a supportive relationship on both sides. Ritzicha is an actual destructive relationship on both sides. So Ritzicha, of course, is a much greater extreme in that sense than Arayas. But both of them, in a certain sense, are built on the same thing. And I want to try to show this to you. I want to try to demonstrate this to you by looking at the example which Ramban brings, which Ramban cites in our parsha. When we spoke here about Arayas, we spoke about how the Torah describes that the land instinctively is repulsed by and rejects Arayas. And the Ramban says that the truth is we find such terminology in the Torah as well. When it comes to Sodom, the event of Sodom, the land just destroyed Sodom. Now, if the people of Sodom had committed the same Averis anyplace else, posits the Ramban, it would not have happened. The consequence that came to Sodom is not just because they were worse than average, but because they were worse than average and they were there in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, being Nachlas Hashem, being Hashem's portion, has a much lower tolerance for Ivrei Avera, for those who do Averis. And therefore, the rejection, how Sodom was revolting to the land and had to sort of just disappear, had to be destroyed, is the first actual experience of what we describe here, the land spitting them out. Now, in the case of Sodom, when we look at, when we analyze Chatas Sodom, there are a lot of things which come at us. The Torah says they were Roim v'chatoim l'Hashem ma'ayid. They were bad and sinners to Hashem greatly, on all fronts, on every front. When we think of Sodom, the language, the term Sodom itself, has been adopted in our world to refer to a moral failure, immorality. As the story over there is told, where they said, bring out those men to us, v'neidoisam, which was a sin of terrible immorality. The light responds by saying, here, take my daughters. And Ramban says, how does he suggest such a thing? The idea was that to them, morality was so not a given that he wasn't doing them a disservice. He was just sending them out. It was what would be the normal rite of passage for any young woman in the world of Sodom. A terrible Sodom has the connotation of terrible immorality, but yet that's not the way the Torah brings out the story of Sodom. That's not the way the Navi describes Chatas Sodom, the sin of Sodom, as Ramban points out back in Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayera. What the pasuk points out is that, you know, there were these three people, these three guests. They were traveling around, and they came to Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu is hot, he's old, he's recuperating, he scans the horizon, he sees these three people coming, and he runs out to bring them in and to welcome them into his home. And then they go off, and Avram Avinu's same guests, the angels of Avram Avinu, run on to where? They run on now to Sodom. And they go to Sodom, and what does the pasuk describe there? Nothing. Nobody comes. Nobody reaches out. Nobody's looking to take care of these people when they come to Sodom. With the exception of Lot, ends up doing it. Before we see immorality, before we see those failures, what do we see? We see a complete apathy when it comes to the needs of others. And that's what the Navi says, and the Ramban cites this in his Perush in Bereishis. He says, this is known as the sin of Sodom, that the hands of the poor and the needy, they did not support, they did not prop up, they did not help. Sodom was apathetic. Before it was what?
Not only that, they used to support.
Right. They maintained that everybody must stay to themselves. If a person tried to do it, right, when light brought in these archim, right, you're telling us what to do. They were opposed to it. Sodom was the opposite of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was chesed, was looking out, concerned, trying to expand, trying to care for the other, and Sodom was the opposite of that. And fundamentally, that's what the land rejects. Yes, as we were pointing out, what the land rejects is the failure of relationship. What the land rejects is arayos, which is the failure of relationship, ritzicha, which is the destructive relationship. These are the things which the oretz, the land itself, is not sovil, which the land has no tolerance for. And therefore, we understand again here in this framework, in this context, what we're focusing on here when we're dealing with the Isurim of Arayas, and why these are the things which make it, the Shechina can't exist. Since this is not the stuff from which a relationship of commitment is made, so therefore it just can't exist, and it can't serve as a place which is hospitable to the Shechina. I want to illustrate this from another place. We're talking here about what makes the land reject its inhabitants. How about what is the entry point? What makes the land welcome its inhabitants? Mm-hmm. What makes the land welcome its inhabitants, what we have in the Pasuk, is that when Yahushua was going to battle and they wanted to succeed in the battle, in the original battles against Yericho, so there was a pact which was made. And the pact which was made was of the nature that if one person sinned, it's as if all of Israel sinned. We find it because when they failed afterwards to fulfill the pact, what the Pasuk says is Chata Yisrael, the Jewish people sinned, even though it was just one person who sinned. But Klal Yisrael, at this point, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, even though we hadn't accepted it really before in the Midbar, we accepted it upon ourselves, Arvus. What's Arvus mean? Arvus means responsibility, mutual responsibility. Arvus and Orev, what's related to the term? La'arev is to mix together, to bring together. When we make an Eruv, what's an Eruv? An Eruv is not a string. Right, the strings which we put up around the city, that's a mechitza. It's a wall. It's a pseudo wall. The Eruv is a box of matzahs. Do you know that? There is a box of matzahs. You go into the Agoda on top, they have a box of matzahs. That box of matzahs, they refresh it every year of Pesach. And you are a shareholder in that box of matzahs. Right? They give shares in that box of matzahs to every member of the community. And that makes it that we can carry in and out of our houses. Because even if you live in an area surrounded by a wall, but if my house is my house and the courtyard is shared with others, how can I take from my house into our courtyard? So what we do is, there's a din called Erev Chatzeres, where you go and you take this box of matzahs or whatever it is, you give everybody a share in it. And now suddenly, we're sharing a meal. So we are me'uravim. My house is your house is my house, our courtyard is together, it's shared. I'm not taking from my private domain, which is for itself, into yours. That's like Taivei Sadam Levade, that's a person by himself. An Eruv is Arvus. Arvus is mutual responsibility where nobody's by themselves, where nobody's issue is their own issue, their separate issue, but everyone is responsible, one for the other. Everyone is therefore together in this and together for this. And that was what Klal Yisrael accepted on the threshold of the Asaretz, of coming into Eretz Yisrael. As we entered Yericho, that's what we accepted, what we didn't have or didn't have to that degree before. In fact, when Klal Yisrael failed after the battle of Yericho, it was because one person, Achan, had sinned, and as a result of that, everybody suffered because we were in it together. You notice what else happened when the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, by the way? What else happened? We started having to worry about each other. Not just in halachas, not just in arevim zelazeh, in the din, the halacha, the law called arvos, called I'm responsible to make sure you fulfill your mitzvahs. In the midbar, was there chesed? In the midbar, did people have to do kindness for each other? What did they need to do? They had to make sure that they had food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down food for everybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was responsible for everybody. They had to make sure they had clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that they had whatever clothing you had stayed with you. You had to make sure people had shelter. So all of their needs, all of our needs were taken care of by the Rabbi Nishalel. So did we have to take care of each other? No, we didn't have to take care of each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of everybody. What develops when Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael and the man stops falling is that you're going to have now a society where people have to provide for one another. The fundamental picture of a society is that a person can't do it alone. As the Gemara quotes Ben Azai as saying, when Adam HaRishon wanted to eat bread, what did he have to do? He had to do everything, from plowing, to planting, to harvesting, to doing it all by himself. When Adam HaRishon wanted to wear clothes, what did he have to do? He had to do everything, from tending to the sheep, to developing the wool, to shearing it, to spinning it, to cleaning it, to weaving it into garments. And what do we have now? We have a society, and there are shepherds, and there are wool processors, and there are weavers, and there are tailors, and there are farmers, and there are processors of grain, and there are bakers, and there are Indian chiefs. And everybody does their thing in order to produce what everybody else needs. That's the difference between living out of the hand of Hashem and living in a land. When you live in a land, the nature of the land is to have a society. And in that society, everybody works together. The picture of Ezer Kenegdai, the picture of a person helping another person, of people doing for each other, is the very definition of a society. And as Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael, and now they have to take responsibility as a society to build their own, and it's no longer HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of everybody, these become the signposts of entry. You can only be in the land if there's a concept of Ezra, of mutual help of one to the other, of Ezer Kenegdai. Not if it's a world of Ritzicha, of murder. Not if it's a world even of the apathy, of Sodom, of Chatas Sodom, of just not paying attention to the needs of others. It's all gebait, it's all built upon relationship, connection, and the commitment which comes from it. And so we have, therefore, this statement here in our parsha of the arayas, of the relationships which won't work, because again, the bedrock, the basic relationship of working together, of doing for each other, is the relationship of ish v'isha, of the man and the woman, which would do it. And here where the Torah limits them, says the Torah, because if you engage in a relationship that's not going to be that ezer, so then you will be left with nothing. The land will not be able to take you. This is the idea that's what brings Hashras Hashchina. One can find this idea in many corners, in many places. You can find it again, for instance, in the fact that the actual building which we made to house the Shekhinah was a building which had to be made jointly by all of the Jewish people, where no one could absolutely dominate, where there was a concept, at least in the basics of it, of Ha'oshir lo yarbeh, Vahadal lo yamit. The wealthy can't do more, the poor can't do less. Everybody has to participate, because Shekhinah is in fact created by that. Or Shekhinah facilitates, Shekhinah makes possible this notion of giving. If I may even suggest it as a related comparison, it's a beautiful, beautiful idea from the Maharal, where the Maharal discusses the Chazal, which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very busy, so to speak, for the 6 days of creation. But the Chazal want to know, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu busy with since then? Once Hashem finished creating the world, what is He involved with? And say, answer Chazal, Yoyshevu Mezavik Zivugim, Hashem sits and He makes Shidduchim. Right? So you understand, that keeps people busy, a lot of phone calls. Right? What does that mean, that the Rabban Hashem since then is Yoyshevu Mezavik Zivugim, He sits and He makes Zivugim. So the Maharal explains that the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Bria, He created all of these separate components. Zivugim means, how do you take two separate things and bring them together? The only way you take two separate things and bring them together is the Ribbono Shel Olam. We could say, so Hashem is deciding this one should go to that one. On one level, yes, of course, Chazal express itself that way. But on another level, we understand as well that when two separate people come together for something, it is for the sake of what? A higher purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings these disparate things together. That is what makes Hashras HaShechina. When two people come together with Zechiyah, with merit, it's because those two people are united by a higher purpose, and that brings them together. That means that the Shekhinah brought them together, and in fact, by being able to be dedicated together to something higher, that brings an even clearer manifestation and a presence of the Shekhinah to be therefore in our midst. To be in our midst. I share this with you today again. So this is the general idea which I wanted to share with you. We have these parshios of Arayas here, and they're part of the world of Hashras HaShekhinah. And their failure stands in the way of Hashras HaShekhinah. We explained it's because it is in relationship that we find Hashras HaShekhinah. The same way Hashem, when He created the world, He wanted to create Adam, something that would exist in the world that could relate to His Tova. When Adam existed in the world, Adam needed to have something in the world that he could relate to in the fullest sense. That's because Shekhinah is Hatov Shimcha. Shekhinah is about sharing and giving in the fullest sense. And that's why when the marriage is right, so to speak, when Zachu, that brings the Shekhinah. When the marriage can't be right, when Loi Zachu, so then it's the opposite. It's the opposite to some degree, you know, the Eish Eichlosan. Just note, I mentioned before that the fire of the Shekhinah, Yiratzon Shetishu Shekhinah Ma'asi Dechem, came down in the Mishkan, and the next moment we have also the opposite, which is Eish Eichlosan of Nadav and Avihu. Why? What did Nadav and Avihu do that was so terrible? What was it? Chazal have all kinds of interpretations we've discussed about what exactly it is that we pin their chet on, that they did wrong. But if you look in Chazal, you find overtones or undertones, whatever you want to call it, between the lines of the idea that Nadav and Avihu were somehow on their own. They weren't working within a community. Whether Chazal express it by the idea that they were Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabban, which is they rejected the hierarchy of Moshe Rabbeinu and their teacher as what they did. Whether in describing that Nadav and Avihu were waiting for Moshe and Aaron to move aside so that they could take over. Whether the descriptions of Nadav and Avihu as somehow shchutzim, as somehow too arrogant to have anybody with which they would want to share their lives. Chazal put all of these things on this chet of Nadav and Avihu, because this is the Eish Eichlason of when people don't come together and don't forge something together. That's what this is about. That's what the Parsha of Arayos is about, the failing and the opportunity to bring together and to make something of togetherness, expressed in the extreme, as we said, in Ritzicha, which the land certainly rejects, Dam Asher Shufach Bo. Not just failure of relationship, that's actual destruction from one person to the other. And we suggested that's the nature of Oretz. That's the nature of coming to society. Certainly Klal Yisrael that comes from a midbar where we didn't have to take care of each other. To Eretz Yisrael, where the nature of things now is that we do provide for each other, that we do care for each other. And that's society. That's Oretz. That's what it means to live in a place, to live in a land. Is that cooperative? That cooperative. And that's why we saw in Sefer Yehoshua that when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, one of the rules, one of the things which changed was this acceptance of arvus, of real, genuine responsibility, one for another, that becomes part and parcel of what we're trying to do. Whereas Sodom was spit out of the land because they didn't know what it meant to help somebody else. Yes, it spilled over into the immorality of the Parshios of Arayos. It spilled over into other things, but at its core, it was the fact that it wasn't a society of people together, working for each other, trying to do something, trying to create something together. That's what creates Hashras Hashchina. That's what creates the presence of Hashem. Hashem is a giver. Hu heitiv, hu meitiv, hu yeitiv lanu. He has done good, he does do good, he will do good. Hatayiv shimcha, Hashem's name is goodness. If one doesn't have that driving them on some level, then one doesn't have the possibility to begin with of Hashras Hashchina. So this is what I wanted to share with you, especially, just so to speak, off the plane from Eretz Yisrael and from a time which I shall talk about a little bit more over Shabbos and in the future, but where the tangible sense that in order to be able to create the presence of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael requires people to say, I want to give for each other. I want to give. And to see the notion, the dedication of people and the celebration of sacrifice for the klal, which we saw there, we were there on Yom HaZikaron, where the all the soldiers, the thousands who've fallen for Eretz Yisrael are remembered and honored. In America, Memorial Day is a time to get a cheap mattress, right? In Eretz Yisrael, it's mamish like celebrating self-sacrifice. It's unbelievable. It's a beautiful thing. And it's understanding that a land, an Eretz, is built from, not from Sedaim, from Goymel Chasadim Taivim V'Kayne HaKal, from doing for one another. That's just what it takes. And we also much, we stand here. I started this year tonight at 8:30. I apologize for those who didn't realize we made the announcement just simply because we have a curfew. Right? I can't give the shiur from 9 to 10 o'clock because you have to be tucked in already at 10 o'clock. So you give the shiur 8:30 to 9:30. And we have such a thing that we experience this week right here, the failure of society. The failure of society in, epic proportions. Outstanding proportions. However you want to trace it, and whoever you want to blame, and so on. But one thing is for sure, is that we did not see the notion of people working together with each other for each other. Where again the failure started and where the failure stopped is not for us to determine. But the result was Tatoki Oriz Eschem. The land will spit you out. You understand? It's not even, it doesn't even take Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't even take the Shechina doing something dramatic. It's just a society can't survive if people don't know how to have the compact of relationship. of people working with each other, for each other, caring for each other, doing for each other. After that, what happens? It burns. It just burns. It just gets destroyed. Vatayitzei esh, vatoichal, and a fire comes out, and it consumes, because the notion of two parts of working together, of our strength is with your strength, just doesn't exist. And that is the complete undermining of the land, of the possibilities of the land, on the most mundane level of a society. But certainly, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made society, that we shouldn't be able to be alone, that it became necessary for people to do it, one to have one together with another. That in itself, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in shul, a beautiful vort from Daniel Fishkein, one of the members of our shul, beautiful vort, where he says, Chazal say Hashem created the world with 10 statements. What exactly were the 10 statements? Chazal debate. And one mainstream opinion which is found in the Medrash is that the 10th statement is when Hashem said, Vayomer Elokim, this is already Vayomer from the second chapter of Bereishis. That's why it's such a chiddush to say it. And Hashem said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmate opposite. As way as a connector. And he asked a beautiful, subtle question. He says, whenever it says Vayomer in the Mamoris, in the statements of creation, it says, and Hashem said, let it be. Let there, yihi or, let there be light, yihi rakia, let there be rakia, toitzei arts, let the land produce. Here, Hashem says, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. It should say, vayomer elokim, esa lezer kenegdei, and Hashem said, I'll make him a helpmate opposite. That's the statement of creation. And he suggested that perhaps, even like toitzei yosef and levadai was a statement of creation. Hashem made it. Hashem declared, this is the way the world should be. The way the world should be is that alone, teignisht, alone isn't good. That we have to be able to do it together. Hashem created the world so that it is this way. Well, it's not inherent. Hashem could create a world and say, okay, let man be alone, be satisfied to be alone, be fine to be alone. But that's not. Hashem said, I want to make the world such that. This is the declarative, creative statement. Vayomer Elokim, from here on in, let it be sensed and felt that it's not good for man to be by himself. And therefore, there's going to have to be a family unit and a societal unit. Es Eleazar Kenegdai. That's the way Hashem wanted it to be. A society, a world of giving, a society where it isn't just the individual, where it isn't just the self. And that's how Hashem made it. And when we adhere to it, then zachu and shechina shruya b'neim. Then we merit and we have what Hashem's plan is. We have Hashem's design. We have ourselves living, so to speak, the unselfish existence, which by nature is the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This perhaps is some of what lies here in this parsha of Arayis and the shechina that we hope and pray will be returned to Tzion and to everywhere. Every society, heve mispalo b'shleima shel malchus, one has to daven for the well-being of the government. Shel mole meira, if not for the government, if not for the awe, the fear of the government, ish esreihu chayim v'loi, people swallow each other up alive. Right, the society, as a whole, helps people to work in concert. Without it, ish esreihu chayim v'loi. We taka daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring strength to society, and that society should consist of people working for the well-being of each other. Goymel chasadim taivim v'kayne ha'koyel. The same way Hashem created the world that way. May we strengthen our world that way. May we have our world that way. And may we be zeichet to gula shleima v'sholim v'shalva b'mirah v'yameinu.